Yeah, the world's contingent and everything in it. It comes to be, it passes away. What does that tell us? It tells us that nothing in the world contains within itself the reason for its own existence. Nothing in the world explains itself. If it did, it would always exist. It would have within itself the reason for its being, right? So since it comes into being and passes away, we know it doesn't contain in itself the reason for its own existence. Therefore, by a very healthy instinct, and every single scientist in the world knows this, by a healthy instinct, we begin to look for causes. I've lived out here in Santa Barbara, California for a little over 4 years, and it's amazing how many real tragedies my neighbors and I have endured just in this very brief time. Go back just a couple years, there was a terrible Thomas fire. It's a fire that began near Thomas Aquinas College, which is in my region, hence the name. And it spread then in the course of this terrible month from that area then all the way down toward me. And you won't recognize these towns, everybody, but you know, places like Montecito and Ventura and so on, until it finally came to the hills just north of my own house, where I could see the flames very clearly. I remember one Saturday morning, I was out in the front lawn of my house. I'm looking nervously up at the flames, and this car pulled up, and it was a retired fire captain who knew me, and he said, "Bishop, what are you still doing here?" And I said, "Well, we haven't been officially evacuated." And he goes, "Officially? There are embers everywhere. This whole neighborhood could go up." That was my introduction to fires in California. Well, after, you know, visiting a lot of destruction upon, I think it was well over 1,000 buildings and homes and so on, finally rains came. And we were so grateful that, okay, the rain is going to put out this terrible fire. Well, the rain turned pretty quickly into a deluge. And it prompted, if you remember, the Montecito mudslide, because those fire-ravaged hills had lost their foliage. And so when this great rain came, the mountain slid down into the sea. Well, that took place about 10 minutes from where I live. And as I was sleeping peacefully in my bed that night, about 25 people died. Now, fast forward just a few months after that, toward the end of 2018, there was a terrible shooting in a bar restaurant called The Borderline, which is in Thousand Oaks, California. That's in the far eastern edge of my region. People were killed, including a very brave police officer who confronted the gunman. Now fast forward to just last fall, so the fall of 2019, in fact, on Labor Day, there was a terrible fire that swept through a boat that was moored right off the coast here in Santa Barbara. It's, you know, just I could see where it was off the coast. People who were sleeping peacefully in that boat were killed. I've been thinking a lot about these things now in light of the coronavirus that we're all facing. So here's another tragic situation, now not restricted to Southern California, but another time when this terrible thing has come that interrupts our sense of peace and complacency. Now, I bring all this up not to depress you, but to make a theological point ultimately. See, these tragic situations, you know, loss of life and sudden, like the coronavirus is a good example. Who would have predicted even a couple months ago that, you know, our lives would be turned upside down, that we couldn't go out in public, that tens of thousands of people would be ill and thousands dying and hospitals overrun? Who would have predicted that even a couple of months ago? So when these great tragedies occur, they clue us into, in a dramatic way, a truth that we all know in our bones, but normally we prefer not to aver to. What I'm talking about, and I'll give it its properly philosophical name, I'm talking about the contingency of the world. Now, that's a fancy way of making a simple but very important point. The world that we know and everything in it is unstable in its being. What I mean is, comes into being, and it passes out of being. It doesn't endure. Everything in its being is ultimately fragile and unstable. Think of every plant you've ever seen, right? It came into being. It will pretty soon actually pass out of being. Think of every insect currently flying or crawling around the world, came into being and will rather soon pass out of being. Think of every animal that's ever walked or crawled upon the earth, came into being, it will pass out of being. Now, make the time frame a little bit longer. Even mountains, I mean, they came into being at a certain point, they endure for a time, they will pass out of being. Even great continents that weren't always there, they came to be, and in time, they will fade away. The earth itself came to be, it will pass away. It's a truth that we know, but we normally don't aver to it. We think of the world as kind of, you know, relatively stable. But these tragedies, and again, we've had our fair share out here in California the last couple of years, these tragedies vividly call to mind the instability and contingency of our existence. You know, whenever I think about contingency, I'm reminded of a story that Teilhard de Chardin tells. Teilhard de Chardin was this priest from the last century, also a high-level scientist, wrote these marvelous kind of poetic works that combined science and religion. Anyway, Teilhard, when he was a very young kid, so the custom in those days was the young kids, even the boys, had kind of long hair, and then at a certain point the mother would, you know, cut their hair. So he's like maybe 3 years old, and he's sitting by the fire in their home. The fireplace was going, and the mother was cutting his hair, and he saw the little curls, you know, falling to the ground, and one of them rolled into the fire, and he said, like that, it was gone. And it hadn't dawned on him, but he realized that that was part of me, and part of me just like that disappeared. And he realized at some basic level, even though he's just a kid, well, gosh, that's the whole of my existence, I guess, is like that. Given enough time, it too is going to pass out of existence. Well, that's the contingency of the world. Now, faced with that, it seems to me we got a great option. One option would be that espoused by Jean-Paul Sartre and his existentialist colleagues. Sartre, who famously said, la vie est absurde, right? Life is absurd. Life is without meaning. All these things that we think are great and lasting and important, look, they're all going to fade away, right? They all are like Teilhard's little wisp of hair that will one day just be gone. And therefore, there is no ultimate meaning. There is no ultimate purpose. La vie est absurde, finally, you know? Yeah, that's one option. Can I suggest a far better option is the one proposed by St. Thomas Aquinas, who knows in his bones the truth of the contingency of the world, but made it, in fact, not cause to embrace a sort of nihilism, but rather took it as a starting point to prove the existence of God. Now, what did Thomas tell us? Yeah, the world's contingent and everything in it. It comes to be, it passes away. What does that tell us? It tells us that nothing in the world contains within itself the reason for its own existence. Nothing in the world explains itself. If it did, it would always exist. It would have within itself the reason for its being, right? So since it comes into being and passes away, we know it doesn't contain in itself the reason for its own existence. Therefore, by a very healthy instinct, and every single scientist in the world knows this, by a healthy instinct, we begin to look for causes, right? Think of all things I mentioned, from insects and plants to animals to mountains to the solar system. What do we look for instinctually? A cause. What caused it to be? Now see, why should we look for a cause? Because we know these things are contingent. They don't explain themselves. Okay, so we look for a cause, and whether it's insect, plant, animal, solar system, we find a cause or set of causes. Well, says Aquinas, okay, are those contingent, or do they explain themselves? And in every example you could give, no, the cause of that insect is itself contingent. The cause of that animal is itself contingent. The cause of that emergence of a mountain, that's a contingent state of affairs. Okay, therefore we have to look for their causes. Well, are they self-explanatory or are they contingent? The one thing you can't do, Aquinas said, is go on to infinity, simply postponing the answer to your question indefinitely and just appealing endlessly to similarly contingent states of affairs. Why not? Because if you do that, you've never found an ultimate ground for this shifting and contingent world. What must you finally come to, Aquinas concludes, some reality which does exist through the power of its own essence, some reality which is self-explanatory, that does not depend upon a cause extrinsic to itself. And this self-explaining reality, all people call God. So Thomas doesn't say this leads to Sartrean nihilism. It leads rather to a keen sense of the existence of God. Now, I want to make this rather high philosophical speech a little more practical by noticing something. Where do priests and other religious types tend to hang out? They tend to hang out at places like hospital rooms and like funeral parlors and the beds of suffering patients and people who are wrestling with their own sense of insufficiency. Now, a superficial explanation would say, oh, that's because they're offering a crutch to psychologically needy people. No, that's a you know, typical of a kind of Freudian approach, but it's completely superficial. Why do priests and religious people hang out at places of limit and suffering and tragedy? Because it's precisely there and then that people have the keenest sense of the contingency of their own existence and the contingency of the world. And so by a very deep and correct instinct, they look to God. See, and that's why priests, ministerial people, go there. See, when someone is, you know, in full health and full success and everything's going great, they tend to just rest in the goods of the world. But it's precisely so often tragedy and sickness and limitation that gives rise to a sense of the contingency of the world and therefore to a sense of God. Anyway, all this has been on my mind as we all wrestle with this coronavirus situation. Talk about being reminded of your contingency. You know, you're going along and your life is just moving swimmingly and you realize there's this virus. I can't even see it. That could come into my system, and it could. It has in many cases. It could kill me. It could take me away. Therefore, don't rely on yourself or on anything in a similarly contingent world, but rather allow your mind and heart to rise up to a consideration of God, that reality which is not contingent and in whom we can find security and rest. Thanks so much for watching. If you enjoyed this video, I encourage you to share it and be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel.